This episode is brought to you by Sterling Soap Company. Fellas, you've heard the phrase, look good, feel good, right? But why not add smell good to that too? That's where Sterling Soap Company comes in. First, Sterling Soap is 100% natural and has a wide variety of bath soaps, shave soaps, beard balm, lotions, and cologne. Second, there's a scent just for you. How about burgundy? Yeah, it's more than a color. The Sterling Soap folks blend natural essential oils with hints of mahogany, golden amber, and sandalwood. Or how about D503, an intensely masculine scent inspired by Legend by Mont Blanc. And third, you will feel good about the price. For just a little more than you'd pay at the grocery store, Sterling Soap will leave you feeling clean, refreshed, and ready for whatever's next. Give Sterling Soap a try today. Visit sterlingsoap.com. This day in sports history. It's April 8th, and on this day in 1974, Hank Aaron became the home run king. It had been a long offseason for Aaron, having finished the 1973 season with 713 home runs, one shy of tying Babe Ruth on the career home runs list. And as a black man chasing a so-called white man's record, Aaron feared he would not live to see opening day in 1974. He received numerous death threats and hate mail in his pursuit of the record, and those only intensified in the fallow months of late 1973 and early 74. He stayed in a different hotel than the rest of the team on the road to thwart any would-be assassin. But Hank Aaron displayed poise and decorum in the face of all the hate directed at him, singularly focused on catching and then passing Ruth as quickly as he could to release the pressure. He tied Ruth with his 714th home run on his first swing of the season in Cincinnati. He closed out the three-game series with the Reds without another one. So here on the Braves' home opener at Atlanta's Fulton County Stadium against the Los Angeles Dodgers, Aaron stepped to the plate in the fourth inning, having walked his first time up. Dodgers starter Al Downing delivered the 1-0 pitch that Hammerin' Hank sent over the fence in left center for number 715, passing the Babe on the all-time home run list. As he rounded the bases, Dodgers infielders congratulated him, and then two young white fans jumped out of the stands and caught up with Hank in his home run trot between second and third. Now, Aaron's bodyguard, Calvin Wardlaw, actually had a .38 caliber pistol in a binocular case that night, and when he saw the two white kids running at Aaron, he had to make a quick assessment of the situation and then determine that his man was not in danger. And if you look at the video of the aftermath, when Aaron is being hugged by his mom, you can see Wardlaw in a light-colored jacket just to the left. And when Braves pitcher Tom House attempts to present the actual home run ball to Aaron, Wardlaw doesn't recognize him, thinks it's a fan trying to get an autograph. Funny thing, Aaron also did not recognize the hatless House in that moment either. Taking the ball, he said, "Thanks, kid," thinking it was one of the bat boys. Dodgers play-by-play voice Vin Scully summed up the moment in the most exquisite way, saying, "What a marvelous moment for baseball. What a marvelous moment for Atlanta and the state of Georgia. What a marvelous moment for the country and the world. A black man is getting a standing ovation in the Deep South for breaking a record of an all-time baseball idol. And it's a great moment for all of us, and particularly for Henry Aaron." Aaron's march to the record was one of consistency and longevity. The most homers he ever had in a season was 47. Over his 23-year career, he led the league in homers just four times. After this night, he had another 40 homers to end with 755 for his career. He held the record for 33 years until Barry Bonds passed him in August 2007. Oh, and the two kids who caught Aaron on the base path to congratulate him were high schoolers Britt Gaston and Cliff Courtney. They were arrested and taken to a local jail where they were bailed out by Gaston's parents. At Aaron's request, the charges were dropped against them. A year later in 1975, Frank Robinson became the first black manager in the major leagues. He was actually a player manager for the Cleveland Indians and inserted himself in the lineup as the designated hitter against the New York Yankees on this day, smacking a homer for his 575th career four-bagger in the first inning. Frank Robinson holds the distinction of hitting the most opening day homers with 8. The Indians went on to win this game 5-3. Robinson managed for 23 seasons in the majors with a variety of teams, winning the American League Manager of the Year in 1989 when he was with the Baltimore Orioles. Which leads us to this very unfortunate story. On this day in 1987, L.A. Dodgers Vice President Al Campanis was a guest on ABC's Nightline with Ted Koppel. When Koppel asked Campanis why there were currently no black managers in baseball, he replied, "I truly believe that they may not have some of the necessities to be a field manager or perhaps a general manager." When Koppel gave him an opportunity to stop digging himself a deeper hole by asking if he truly believed that, Campanis grabbed the proverbial shovel back and said, "I don't say that all of them, but they certainly are short. How many quarterbacks do you have? How many pitchers do you have that are black?" After that exchange, they went to commercial. And during the break, Koppel spoke with Al and asked him, "Al, are you hearing yourself? Are you sure you don't want to rethink that?" He gave him the opportunity to change course. But Campanis pressed on, challenging Koppel about black management and on-air personalities in television. In all fairness, Campanis was not a racist. He demonstrated that when he was a teammate of Jackie Robinson with the Dodgers in the 40s and 50s. He had embraced him and roomed with him on the road. But what he said on Nightline on this night was inexcusable, and a firestorm arose. Within 2 days, Campanis had resigned from the Dodgers organization. Also on this day in 1996, the Chicago Bulls lost to the Charlotte Hornets, snapping their 44-game home winning streak at the United Center. Michael Jordan dropped 40 on the Hornets, and the Bulls had several chances to win in the final seconds, but missed 3 putbacks on a Tony Kukoc miss. The Hornets pulled off the win despite Charlotte's star Larry Johnson sitting on the bench in the second half. And one other fun fact about this one, Chicago had actually beaten Charlotte at home 3 days prior by 34. And today's non-sports fun fact. Atlantic bluefin tuna thrash so hard when hooked on a fishing line, they can literally cook their own flesh. That's all for today. I'll have more tomorrow on This Day in Sports History. This has been an original Thrive Suite production.
Hey there, Sports History fans.
We've got some exciting news to share with you. 6 of our podcasts from the Sports History Network have made it to the final round of voting for the prestigious Sports Podcast Awards. Here are their shows and the categories. Historically Speaking Sports and This Day in Sports History are both competing for Best Sports Talk Podcast. No Nonsense Old School Weightlifting History is in the running for Best Fitness, Health, and Well-Being Podcast. When Football Was Football is up for Best Sports Documentary Podcast. Wrestling with Heels On has entered the ring for Best Wrestling Podcast. And Shoulder Roll Virtual Boxing is fighting for the title for Best Combat Sports Podcast. Now, of course, we need your help to take home the championship for each of these awesome shows. All you gotta do is head over to sportshistorynetwork.com/vote. Cast your vote for your favorite shows, or better yet, all 6 of them. Again, every vote counts, and we got to show the world how much sports history really matters. So thank you for your support and making Sports History Network the headquarters for sports yesteryear. But again, don't wait. You got to go vote now. That's over at sportshistorynetwork.com/vote.